We're going to be going through the text of Hebrews 9:19 through 28, where we see that the types of the first covenant, that's the law, are fulfilled by the offering of Christ's blood in the heavenly sanctuary. In our last message, we saw that in contrast to the high priests of the Levitical system, Christ is the high priest of things to come, which pertain to the new covenant and heavenly sanctuary. We have seen that Christ entered once into the sanctuary and obtained eternal redemption for believers. We have seen that Christ's offering will cleanse the believers' consciences from dead works and enable them to serve the living God. And we have seen that Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, enabling those who are called to receive the promise of eternal inheritance. As we moved into verses 16 through 23, we are in the process of seeing that this necessitated Christ's death by the shedding of his blood to dedicate the new covenant. We've already considered verses 16 through 18, which say, "For where a testament is," meaning where a last will and testament is, "there must also of necessity be the death of the one who made the will. For a testament is of force," meaning for a last will and testament is valid after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all, means it is not of any at any time valid while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament, that's the law, was dedicated without blood, that means for which reason the first testament, meaning the covenant or the law, was dedicated with blood. When you have not and without, it means with. So we move on this evening to verse number 19. "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people." As indicated by 4, verse 19 is given to explain how the first covenant or testament, meaning the law, was dedicated with blood. The first covenant, as I've said, was the law. The tense of when Moses had spoken indicates that its time of action occurred before the action of sprinkled, and it's understood in the sense of after Moses had spoken. What Moses had spoken is every precept or every command or every commandment. When Moses had spoken, every precept is literally after every commandment had been spoken by Moses. In other words, Moses actually spoke every commandment according to law, every commandment which the law gave, every commandment law by law, or every commandment law after law. Furthermore, Moses spoke it to all the people. To all the people who were there at that time. Of course, this includes all the Israelites, because the entire nation of Israel was gathered at Mount Sinai. "He took" is literally having taken, and is understood in the sense of after he took or after he had taken. And what Moses took was the blood of calves and of goats. Now, in order to obtain the blood of these calves and goats, they first had to be slain. He didn't just take a syringe and draw out a little blood from each one. No, the animals were killed, and their blood was then used. He took that blood along with water, with scarlet wool, and with hyssop. It's interesting that these things are not mentioned in Exodus 24 when Moses sprinkled the altar and the people. Well, it doesn't matter that they were not mentioned then. What matters is that God, the Holy Spirit, stated it here through the writer to the book of Hebrews. So we know that this is what happened. The scarlet wool was red wool. Why was it red? Well, it might have been red because of the blood which was in it. Hyssop was a small bush with blue flowers and highly aromatic leaves. With these, he, meaning Moses, sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. The book is the scroll, and it refers to the law or the first covenant. Saying introduces what Moses said when or while he sprinkled both the book, which refers to the law, and all the people with the blood of calves and goats, as is indicated by saying. What he was saying is, this is the blood of the testament which God hath joined and joined unto you. The word testament is the same word which has been previously translated covenant in Hebrews. This particular blood refers to the blood which was being sprinkled on this book and on the people, which God hath enjoined unto you, refers to the testament or covenant, meaning the law. And it indicates that the people had no choice in this matter. God is the one who enjoined them. Hath enjoined unto you means has commanded to you or has ordered for you, where you refers to the people comprising the nation of Israel, to whom the law was given at Mount Sinai, where all the Israelites were gathered together. The tense of hath enjoined indicates action completed as a whole and is translated in a way which emphasizes the result of this action for succeeding generations of Israelites. This law would be in effect until God did otherwise. Moreover, verse 21, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Verse 21 indicates that the sprinkling went farther than just the book and the people. Moreover, is the translation of two words, the first of which may be translated by the word and, or it may be emphatic and understood in the sense of indeed, in fact, or certainly. The second word means in the same way, similarly, so or likewise. Furthermore, this second word is used to describe sprinkle and indicates that just as Moses had sprinkled both the law and the people, he also sprinkled the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. He was thus dedicating these things. He is Moses. What Moses did is sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Thus, not only the book and the people, but also the tabernacle itself and the vessels of ministry were all sprinkled with blood. Now, what are these vessels of ministry? They're the utensils, the things, or the equipment used in the priestly service or worship of God. And then we have verse 9:22, which I think is sometimes misunderstood. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And continues the thought, it might instead be understood in the sense of also. Almost all things means nearly all things. but not all things. You understand the difference? Nearly all things, but not all things. Our purged is our cleansed or our purified or our made clean by the law, suggests according to the law, with blood, means by means of blood. This phrase teaches that nearly all sins were cleansed by the application of blood. The reason that almost is used is that not all things were cleansed by this blood. In other words, the statement is generally true, but there were a few exceptions. In the Old Testament, these sins for which no blood sacrifices were specified include intentional sins, blasphemy, idolatry, murder, and adultery. And, he says, without shedding of blood is no remission. It indicates that nothing is ever forgiven apart from the shedding of the blood. The shedding of the blood took place in connection with the sacrifices. But there were no sacrifices, no blood sacrifices specified for certain sins that we've listed. Without suggests apart from. Is no remission means that pardon or forgiveness does not come to pass, does not happen, does not occur, or there is no forgiveness, meaning pardon or cancellation. The suggestion is that the forgiveness of sin only comes with the shedding of blood. As we move into verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things with themselves with better sacrifices than these. In verse 23, it's made clear that although it was necessary that the earthly tabernacle be purified with the blood shed from animals, it was necessary that the heavenly sanctuary and the things in the heavenly sanctuary be purified with better sacrifices than these animal sacrifices. As is indicated by the italics, it was, has been supplied by the translators. This is common, and when you see italicized words in the King James Bible, realize it means that there's either no Hebrew or no Greek word representing that, but it was necessary for an understanding. You don't just go from one language to another word for word for word. That's just not the way it works. I know there are people that think that. They need to think again, all right? They need to improve their thinking. Therefore, introduces an inference drawn from what has been previously stated, and it's understood in the sense of consequently, accordingly, then, or so. Necessary is a necessity or a compulsion. The subject of was is that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. The pattern of things in the heavens is the copies or the imitations of things in the heavens and refers to the earthly tabernacle and the vessels or instruments of worship. That's in the Old Testament. Whereas in the heavens, which suggests in heaven, indicates where the original was located. From the heavenly originals, it is from the heavenly originals that the earthly tabernacle and the vessels or instruments of worship had been copied. That the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified means should be cleansed should be cleaned or should be made clean. It's the same word translated purged in verse 22. With these means by means of these, referring to the blood of calves and goats with which the book, the people, the earthly tabernacle, and the vessels of the ministry were purified. The pattern of things purified should be purified with these. But, and there's the contrast, it introduces a contrast and indicates something else that was necessary. What took place in the Old Testament is not what was going to take place forever. That the heavenly things themselves must be purified with better sacrifices than these. The heavenly things refers to the heavenly sanctuary and its vessels of service or worship. And it is in contrast to the earthly tabernacle and its vessels of priestly ministry or of religious service. The heavenly things themselves refers to the heavenly things, and themselves is used to intensify its meaning. With better sacrifices than these means with better sacrifices or offerings than these animal sacrifices. It is a comparison referring to the sacrifices or offerings of the calves and goats. And what it is saying is that these animal sacrifices were inadequate for purifying the heavenly tabernacle. Now, as we move into verses 24 through 28, we see that Christ has now entered into the very presence of God to appear on behalf of believers, having been once for all time offered to bear the sins of many. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, that's the earthly tabernacle, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 24 advances the thought, as is indicated by for, which is used in the sense of now. Christ refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, as if you did not know that. Is not entered means did not enter, and indicates an action completed as a whole in the past. It is not presently occurring, but it was completed in the past. Christ entered the heavenly tabernacle. What he did not enter is the holy places made with hands. The holy places is a term which means the sanctuary, and it's a sanctuary made with hands, human hands. It is referring to the earthly tabernacle. Christ did not enter into this earthly tabernacle, which is described by the phrase, which are the figures of the true. The figures is the copies, the antitypes, or the representations. The use of the word figures indicates that the earthly sanctuary and the things pertaining to it are not the real sanctuary, but are only symbolic of it. The true is the true holy place, or the true sanctuary, meaning the one in heaven made without hands. True is understood in the sense of real or genuine, but introduces a very strong contrast. The reader must supply Christ entered from the previous phrase. Where Christ entered is indicated by into heaven itself, where itself is used to intensify the meaning of heaven. The indication is that he entered into the heavenly sanctuary. Now is at the present time. To appear indicates the reason Jesus entered into heaven. It is in order that he might appear, or for the purpose that he might appear in the presence of God for us. This is the purpose of Christ's appearing. It suggests that the Lord Jesus Christ is meeting directly with God the Father for us, or on behalf of us, where us refers to believers. Just as the earthly high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies on behalf of the people as a representative of the people, so Jesus is representing believers before the face of the God the Father in heaven. He is our advocate. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. In verses 25 through 28, a contrast is once again made between the sacrifice made by Christ and the sacrifices made by the high priests. Nor yet is neither, and not, or indeed not, that he should offer himself often shows purpose. Therefore, that is understood in the sense of in order that, or for the purpose that. He should offer himself often as he should offer himself many times. It was not necessary for Jesus to offer himself as a sacrifice many times. Instead, he offered himself on the cross once for all time for the sins of all mankind. It was a never-to-be-repeated event. In the Mass that the Catholic Church observes, Jesus is offered repeatedly. It's wrong. By contrast, the high priest had to enter the Holy of Holies annually to offer the animal sacrifices, as has an intensifier attached to it in the Greek text and means as indeed. It indicates a comparison between what Jesus did and what the high priests did. The high priest is a generic way of referring to every high priest. The tense of entereth suggests customary action. It is what the high priest did repeatedly on the Day of Atonement. Every time the Day of Atonement rolled around on the calendar, the high priest had to enter into the holy place, or the Holy of Holies. It is the holiest of all, or the second room of the tabernacle. Every year, annually, year by year, with blood of others, is by means of blood belonging to another, by means of blood not his own, or by means of another's blood. The blood which the high priest offered was the blood which had been obtained from the animals that had been slain. By contrast, the blood that Christ offered was his own. You see why it's necessary that he be sinless and able to offer his own blood for your sins and mine. For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. For then is for otherwise. Must he indicate something that would have been necessary for Jesus to do, something that Jesus would have had no choice about, or something that Jesus would have had to do? Must he often, must he many times have suffered, refers to Christ's death on the cross. Must he often have suffered is literally that he suffer many times was necessary since the foundation of the world, from the foundation of the world, and suggests over and over again ever since time began, or since the creation, but introduces a contrast. Now means at the present time, but inasmuch as then was used in the logical sense of otherwise, now might be understood in the logical sense of under the present circumstance rather than in a temporal sense. Once is in contrast to many times or often. In the end of the world is at the end of the ages, at the completion of the ages, or at the close of the ages, hath he appeared. He is Christ, of course. Is he has revealed himself, or shown himself, or been revealed to put away sin, is for removal of sin, or unto removal of sin. It means that he might remove sin by the sacrifice of himself, through the sacrifice of himself, or by means of the sacrifice himself. In other words, Jesus came into this world in order to die on the cross, in order to put away sin. And when you get saved, you receive a new sinless nature. He has put away sin in your life as a believer. Yes, you still have an old sin nature, but you won't have it forever and ever. At death, or at the rapture, whichever comes first, the old sin nature is permanently removed, and he will have at that point time put away sin forever and ever. And he provided for that in his death on the cross. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. In verses 27 and 28, a general truth and a specific truth are revealed. The general truth is that death comes only once and is followed by the judgment. And the specific truth is that Christ died for sin once, and indicates a continuation of the thought of verses 24 and 20 through 26. As in verse 27 is to be connected with so in verse 28. And it's used in the sense of just as so, in order to show a comparison. It is appointed, is literally, it is put away, it is stored up, which used when used figuratively as it is in this verse, means it is reserved for someone, it is certain for someone, it is destined for someone. You're looking forward to death. I'm sure that's just what you wanted to hear tonight. You're going to die unless the rapture comes first. Some of you are a long way removed from what you perceive to be the time of your death, but you don't really know that. How long will you live? You'll have to wait till the end of your life to find that out. You won't know. Did I ever expect to be this mature? Well, sure. Of course. But I didn't know it. I didn't expect to go real soon in life. I want to be serving the Lord as long as he enables me, like Ed. Unto men is to men, with reference to men or regarding men, where men is the generic term for human beings, and it includes females as well as males. The appears before men in the Greek text in order to indicate that the entire group or class of human beings is in view in this verse. It's stating something which is true of each and every human being. Once means one time. As a general truth, human beings die. But typically, they only die one time. In the scriptures, a few people, such as Lazarus, were raised from the dead, but would have died a second time. Okay, so there were some exceptions to this, but not very many. What is appointed to men is to die. That includes the ladies too, by the way, but introduces a slight contrast. After this suggests after death. And what follows death is the judgment. Hebrews 9:28 reads, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So is to be connected with "as" in verse 27, indicating that verse 27 is being compared with verse 28. Christ is the Christ, the Messiah, or the Anointed One. It's referring to Jesus. "Was offered" is a sacrificial term, meaning was brought or was presented, and implies was offered as a sacrifice. The voice of "was offered" is passive, indicating that somebody else did the offering. "Once" is repeated and indicates that Jesus was not sacrificed over and over again, as was true with the sacrifices under the Levitical system. He was offered once for all time for sin. He was offered once to bear, indicates purpose, and it's understood in the sense of in order that he might bear, or for the purpose that he might bear, which means in order that he might take away. What he bore or took away was the sins of many, where sins is the term for missing the mark. Of many suggests of many people. It means that Christ died in place of all. Christ died for the sins of all humanity, but his death only becomes effective for those who receive by faith, receive him as their own personal Savior and Lord. The ability to be saved is at some time in everyone's life there. Doesn't mean that it lasts throughout his life. Some people have committed the sin of unbelief too long, too often, and too vehemently. And God takes note. You don't deny God every day of your life for the rest of your life and expect to go to heaven. Somewhere, you're going to have to realize that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead and trust him as your Savior. There are a lot of people that have probably crossed that boundary where it's too late for them to change their minds. Not that they care. It isn't that they care about it. If they care about it, they can do something about it. But he bore these sins once. He took away the sins of many. As I said, Christ died for the sins of all humanity. We differ with the Calvinists in that regard. They don't believe that. They believe that Christ died only for the elect. We believe he died for everybody. Whether they're elect or not makes no difference. But his death only becomes effective for those who by faith receive him as their personal Savior and Lord. And that's at the time they receive him as their personal Savior and Lord. Thus, there is no hint here of any limited atonement which the Calvinists believe in. "Unto them that look for him" refers to believers who are described by "them that look for him." Its meaning is to the ones who wait eagerly for him, or to the ones who await him eagerly, and it refers to all believers. It is not referring to an elite group of believers who especially look for him and who await for him more eagerly than other believers do, you know, like getting up on top of their roofs, just watching for the rapture to occur. It suggests that all believers are eagerly awaiting him, and they are in their new sinless natures. Now, their old sin natures don't really care about him coming back and don't want him. "Shall he appear?" where he is Christ, is he shall become visible the second time, suggests for the second time, without sin. What does that mean? Well, it suggests without a sin offering or without any relation to sin, and implies that the sin question was settled once and for all time at his first appearing. The fact that this sin offering was accepted by God the Father was demonstrated by the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead. If he was not raised from the dead, there is no salvation. People can deny it, but they're unsaved. We who are believers, we believe it. Without sin indicates that Christ will not be making any additional offering for sin. Unto salvation suggests the completion of salvation. Jesus will be coming back to complete it. At his return, believers will receive the redemption of their bodies. This is at the rapture. They will be made completely like Christ, and he will take them home to be with himself in heaven. We look forward to that. Thank God. Jesus died on the cross and paid in full for all the sins that we have committed. Next time we're thinking about committing some sin, maybe it would be good for us to stop and reflect on what it cost Jesus. How great a salvation we have. And God will complete our salvation at the rapture when we will be completely like Christ, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God for what he's done for us and is doing for us. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that you've given us this opportunity and this privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord. And help us, our Father, to be everything you want us to be for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.